the 11th chapter, we're going to break in our reading at verse 20. This chapter, from the opening verses, it deals with the question that had to do with John the Baptist. And John was in prison now, and he had perhaps wavered a little. Was he certain that the one who had come was indeed the Messiah? Was there indication by the life, ministry, miracle, the activity of this one? So he sent his disciples to inquire of the Lord Jesus. And Christ sent very graciously back to John, and he said to him, "Consider the things that you have seen. Consider the prophecies of the Scripture that have been fulfilled and the evidences." And the Lord so graciously said, "Go and tell John again." Sometimes you and I will have our fainting fits, our time of doubting the Lord, doubting His gracious, the evidence of His providence in our life. And how merciful and kind the Lord is, He says, "Go and show my servant again." And the Lord may need to come and just speak to your heart this morning to reassure you of His love, to reassure you of His kindness, to reassure you by the evidences that are so living, so real, so vital, that you have already seen, but the Lord will, He will come and tell you again. And then, of course, the Lord continues now to speak of the great prophet that John the Baptist was. But those who are in the kingdom of heaven, the very simplest, are greater than those who are mighty prophets left upon earth. But in the Lord's ministry, there were many who denied Him, and they rejected His word. Maybe there's someone here, and you've rejected the Lord's word so far. But as He went through various towns, and they had turned away from Him, He said, "It will be more tolerable for those in Sodom and Gomorrah than the people who have heard the witness of the gospel in Christ's time. How much more for Canada? How much more for the United States and the Western world will responsibility, and upon all who have heard, and the abundant evidence and the witness that has gone from the time of Christ unto where we are today." And so the Lord was speaking this word of rebuke. Let's pick up our reading now at the 20th verse. "Then began He to upbraid the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in that day of judgment than for thee." At that time Jesus answered and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's bow, please, for prayer. Gracious Father, in the closing moments of our meeting this morning, we come to pray for the help of the Spirit of God. I pray for that fresh anointing, the unction from heaven upon me now, as the word is opened and as I speak the truth of God. Father, please save me from saying anything that would confuse or be unfaithful, untrue to the word of God. And I pray that the words of the Lord would be so fastened to every heart, there would be no one here that would leave this meeting without saying, "We have met with God today. My heart has been touched by the Spirit of the Lord." Father, I pray, therefore, that everyone listening today would have the help of the Holy Spirit of God to know that the Lord is speaking to them through the Scripture. Our Father, bless us today, we pray, for as you look down upon every individual, every heart is open before God. No one can hide anything before the Almighty. And Lord, as you look down upon us today and you peer deeply into our souls, we ask, Lord, that we would come with openness of heart and cast ourselves before the throne of grace. Lord, come near to us now, therefore, today, and give help. Come to those who are in great need. Bless each one. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to share with you today some thoughts from the 28th verse of this chapter, where the Lord Jesus said this to his disciples that were standing nearby, and indeed to all who were prepared to listen to his words. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." My, with the advancement of this age, of the technology that is upon us, with the speed of computer hard drives, with the speed that is expected and laid upon each one of us to keep up to the great amount of knowledge, we are sometimes overwhelmed by these things. Sometimes we are set back upon ourselves and we have to say, "Lord, where will this all end? When will this merry-go-round stop? I want to get off now. I've had enough. I don't think I can take much more of this." And as life progresses on with all its challenges, with all of the increasing complexities, why, there are certain things, though, that we know do not change, because as human beings, our human nature does not change. The needs that we have as individuals in our emotional, our mental, and our spiritual well-being, those things do not change. We have as much, if not more, need today than they have had all through times of church history. But you know, the Lord Jesus, believer, knows exactly where you are today. He knows exactly what is going on inside your mind. He knows the need of your heart. And so when you are tempted to wonder, does the Lord really care? Is He interested in the details of my life? From those who are the very youngest to those who are the very oldest, been on the road with Christ for many, many years, and yet you can be tempted to think, well, the Lord has got other things and other people and those who are much more needy than my case to be concerned with. But believer, that's not the way the Lord is. That is not the way your Savior thinks, and it's certainly not His attitude toward you. It was not that way toward His disciples, and Matthew 11, as we've already commented on His response to John the Baptist, who was faltering as he was in prison at that time. The Lord did not bring a sharp rebuke to him, but the Lord brought to him a gentle word to encourage him and to bring him forward. And today, believer, the Lord has a gentle word for you. He has a word that you may need, a word in season to the weary heart. After He had rebuked those for their great unbelief, because you will note here that the Lord does not have a kind word toward those who are rebels against Him. He does not have a kind word to those whom He has spoken the words of life faithfully, truly, openly, and He has spoken them again and again, and still they willfully reject Him, and they are prepared to say, "Depart from our coasts. Depart from our homes. Depart from my life." Friend, if you say that to the Lord, beware. Beware. Because you have more reasons to receive and accept Christ into your life than those people that lived in the days of Capernaum. How much more will you be accountable before God than these people were? And the Lord had a very stern word of rebuke against them. And He was prepared to say that those who had so turned against Him, He was not offering prayer for them. But He is offering prayer for you, for His people, for those who know Him, for those who have trusted in the Savior. And so, believer, this morning, I present this word to you from Matthew 11 and verse 28. And these words of Christ, these words of invitation. And first of all, I'd like you to see that this is a gentle command that the Lord gives to you. A gentle command. It's a gracious entreaty. We could put it that way. These are the words of Christ to you. And He is saying, "Come unto me." These are the Lord's words this morning. "Come unto me." He is inviting you to turn unto Him in the time of your great need. He is inviting you to cast aside all else. And how is the Lord inviting you to come this morning? I suggest to you that He is inviting you to come quickly. While you have tarried for some time now, but you need to approach the throne of grace with all speed. Nothing holding you back, but to come unto the Lord swiftly. Indeed, we were singing this morning, "Come to the Savior, make no delay." Whatever it is that holds you back, and oh, there are many. There are many things that cause you to think, "I cannot come to the Lord now in the time of my need, because, and because, and because." But the Lord wants us to come with all speed unto the throne of grace. To come with all of our energy unto Him. For as He invites us to come unto me, He wants us to seek Him with speed. Now, I suggest to you, believer, that you do certain things in your life with great haste and speed. Some of us, well, we come to the dinner table with great haste, where we don't have to be called twice when the dinner call comes. We are anxious to take care of our physical needs, and we enjoy to be at the table, because indeed feasting is a joyful thing. We perhaps come quickly when the favorite television program is coming to its time, and we will rush to that occasion. Or maybe it's the hockey game that you're encouraged about, and you won't miss out that, even if it might come on a prayer meeting night. How unfortunate that often is. The playoff games on a Wednesday night. Will you make that decision? Is it the prayer meeting, or am I going to come quickly to the television set? Shame on you if you make the wrong decision at that point. The Lord will not bless that. You see, we will come with speed to the things that we have delight in, the things we have joy in, and no one has to encourage us about that. But why is it, believer, that we are so slow to come to the Lord? Why is it that we are so tardy to bring our need when the Savior invites us, "Come unto me," and we say, "I have other duties to attend to. I have other things that I must take care of." You lose out when you do that. The Lord wants us to come with urgency to the throne of grace. He wants us to come with all our energy to Him. So He invites us to come quickly. But there's something else, I believe, that is in this invitation. He invites us to come boldly, without any hesitation. We are encouraged in Hebrews chapter 4 to come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of our need. Are you timid to bring your burden to the Lord in prayer? Are you thinking perhaps that God will not accept me? Oh, believer, don't think that for a moment, because you are accepted in the Beloved. Why you can come to the Lord is because His blood has been shed for you. The door of salvation is open, and the door of access to the throne of grace to come unto your Savior is open for you. There is no reason that you should stay back. Ah, but maybe you're thinking about sin. You're thinking about how the sin that you are engaged in now, that you are still holding on to, well, that would be a reason for you not to come. And I'll tell you something, that certainly will hinder you from coming. There is no doubt about that, because we're told in Psalm 66, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." And that means not the prayer of confession, because when we come and seek the Lord for forgiveness, He always hears us. But when we regard that iniquity to the point where we are holding on to it in our hearts, and we are not wanting to let it go, why is that in a Christian's heart? We are struggling and wrestling with the old nature. We are struggling and wrestling with the residue of the sinful nature, the old man in us. And sometimes we have to admit that those sins have got a grip upon us, and it hinders us from seeking the Lord, because we feel, well, I can't pray if I have this thing hanging over my head. And there's a fight and a battle that goes on within the old man, within our spirit and our heart. We want to do what's right. There's a difficulty. We're battling this out. And the sin seems to have wrapped its string around us. But as a little string may be easily broken, by the time you wrap that string around yourself 20 and 30 times, it now becomes a strong rope. And you cannot break that yourself. So sin will indeed hinder us by coming to the Lord boldly and without hesitation. But we are told to confess and forsake our sin. And Paul said, "Oh, that I might have a conscience void of offense before God and men." He wanted to keep with God short accounts. He did not want to have it where a sin was abiding more than a day, more than an hour, more than a time when a sin has been committed. May God's grace be upon us that we will confess and leave that sin, so there is nothing that will be a barrier between us coming unto the Lord and responding to that invitation that He has given to us. We are to come quickly. We are to come without hesitation. We are to come directly unto God. You know what it's like when you have some great dilemma in your life. The first thing you do is you turn to a friend, maybe. You turn to a family member. You turn to someone else who you think will be able to give you counsel or advice in those times. But where should we come to, friend? We need to come directly with all haste unto the Lord, because He is the one who has invited us. He is our Master, our Lord, our Savior, our Sovereign. He is the one who controls our lives. He knows the end from the beginning, and he wants us to pour out our hearts unto our God. He longs. Believer, can you see this today in your mind's eye? Your Lord is here with his arms open, beckoning you. Think about it. He is beckoning you to come to him in the time of your need. Cast your burden unto the Lord, and he will sustain you. Casting all our care upon him, for he cares for us. Come unto me is the great invitation of Christ. There are different invitations in the scripture that have to do with coming to God, coming to the Lord in salvation. But this one today, this believer is for you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And you see, this secondly is the necessary qualification that is cited here. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. No one is excluded. Every true child of God is called upon here. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. We could almost turn that around and say that every Christian labors and is heavy laden, and therefore every one of us as believers are to heed this call and to come. The nature of labor, it requires the expenditure of energy, of our effort. Whether the labor of employment, and thinking about that for a moment, the labor of the workplace. And for the Christian, this can be a place of oppression. It can be a place of oppression because of the way you're treated at the workplace, maybe because of your faith. There are challenges that face you, and you feel that it's hard to be a Christian and to live the life in that laborious circumstance and place. And you start off well, but after a while, the burdens are piling upon you and the labor is increasing, and you're wondering, how can I continue? The oppression of this place seems too great for me. What are you to do in a case like that, child of God? You must come unto the Lord. You must bring that problem, that difficulty of the workplace, of your employment unto God. But the labor is not only restricted to the workplace, the labor is also very much in the home. The duties of home, what are they? I need not cite them for you this morning. You all know them well. But you also know this, that the duties and responsibilities and burdens of home are great. And for those who are parents with children who may not be walking with the Lord the way you know they should, they may not be even believers. Why, those are heavy things to have upon you. Those are labors that are intense in your own walk as a Christian parent. And you maybe have a child that has made a profession of faith when they were younger, but they are drifting far away, and you're wanting to pull them back in, but the more you try to do that, the farther they seem to go away from you. And those are great labors that are upon your mind, upon your soul and your spirit, and they are grieving things to you. What are you to do? Come to the Savior. The labors of employment, the labors of your home, the obligation of community. You know, we maybe don't get as engaged as we should with those who are the neighbors next door to us where we live, or perhaps in the marketplace, and maybe we feel a bit guilty for that purpose. We're not witnessing to our neighbors as we should be. We're not being there for them as we should be. And sometimes those labors of obligation and of the sense of neglect even of those around us, those are heavy things upon a Christian's heart. And how do you resolve those types of matters? You come to the Lord with that burden. You come to the Lord with that labor. So there's employment and home and community. What about the commitment of God's work? the commitment that you have to the Lord's service. I'll tell you, friend, if there's one thing that can discourage you more than any of the other things, it may be your work in the Lord's vineyard, because you sense and feel that your labors are being expended with no income. You're giving out and giving out and giving out, and you see very little for your labor, and you're prone to think that I'm just tired out and I can't do this anymore, because what's the point of carrying on? Friend, be not weary in well-doing, for the Lord has promised, in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. But these things are upon us, the commitment of the work of God, and your dealing with and sharing the burdens of one another as we are commanded to do. But don't let your own soul starve for expending labors on others. Be certain that you keep these things in priority and in the right perspective. What do we say about labors of love? When you think about those types of labors, I know they're akin to the Lord's work very, very often, but you're involved in doing things for other people that we don't know anything about, that I don't, and maybe the person sitting beside you doesn't know, but in yourself, you serve the Lord in serving others. The work that you're doing because you love Christ and you love your fellow Christian, those around you, and even your neighbors who are not yet believers, you are serving in labors of love. But the income from those labors may not be as much as you think they should be or you would want to see them, and therefore the burden is great upon you and your back is being weighed down, and all can become laborious, even monotonous. Friend, that's not the way it should be in the Lord's work. It's not the way we are to be. We are to be filled with the joy of Christ, filled with the expectation of what God is going to do. Ah, but here are the necessary qualifications that are upon us if we are going to come to Christ. He says, all ye that labor. I thank God for you in this congregation. I thank the Lord for the work ethic that you have. I thank the Lord for your diligence in wanting to serve the Master. And if you're at this point not really engaged, then begin to ask the Lord, how may I get involved? What can I do in my service for Christ? But for those who are workers and tireless workers, I praise God for you. But I fear sometimes that as you labor and labor and labor and work, you may yourself lose out with God. Don't let that happen. Don't allow that to be your case. You need relief from that labor, but it does not seem to be on the horizon. You do not seem to be able to get clear of that. I call that, sometimes we hear the phrase, the tyranny of the urgent. There's always that thing that has to be done that takes priority. And then when I think about the cables of our obligation and those things that are on us. And they all seem to be at times overwhelming to us. Frustration of much labor with very little increase. You know the word labor here in this text? It has the idea of toil resulting in reduced strength. So the more you work, you're getting more tired and tired. The word also has to do with pain and trouble. The root word is a Greek word kopos, and it means to cut. And you may have heard of a coping saw. Well, it's drawn from that same root word, to cut. The idea of labor. Cutting, chopping, being diligent and busy about your work, but you're getting worn out. But it doesn't only talk about those who are engaged in laboring. There's another word in this text, and it says heavy laden. The word heavy laden means to load up, to overburden. Now, you can think about this in the context of an animal, of a vessel, something that you're going to fill up and perhaps stress that vessel more than it can bear the weight of, to the point where it breaks, and now the vessel's no longer any use. If you put too much upon the animal that you're trying to do a work for you, the straw may be the thing that breaks the camel's back, and it will all collapse down under that labor. But also of people, of the individual, of being heavy laden. The Greek word is fortizo, and you will recognize the word fortitude that we draw from that. It means to have strength, to have endurance, and so those who are heavy burdened and are continuing on are said to be those who have fortitude. But the Lord is saying here, those who are burdens, heavy laboring rather, and are heavy burdened, those are the ones He is inviting to Himself. We have an example of the use of this word in Luke 11 and verse 46, where Christ was saying, "Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne." And so there were those legal men, the Pharisees in the day, and they would not so much as carry a needle in their lapel if they were involved in the business of being a tailor, because they felt that was a burden. And so they took those things to an extreme. But Christ said, "You laid. You come to put a heavy burden upon others that you will not bear yourself." And so the Lord rebuked them for that. You know, physical burdens are hard enough to bear, and they are wearisome. But I don't believe that the main import of this verse has to do with those physical labors. Oh, there's application there, no doubt. But I believe really what the Lord is getting at here are those spiritual, those mental, those emotional burdens that are devastating upon the mind and the body. And those things that weigh us down. And they weigh us down so much that, well, we think that we cannot go forward any longer. And what does the Lord say to you today? He says, "Believer, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And here, believer, is the promised deliverance that Christ will give, "And I will give you rest." God has instituted rest for His people. He instituted rest after He created the world in 6 days. He instituted a rest for His people by way of commandment, for He knew the heart of man. And He knew that man would work 7 days, and if the week was 8 days, he'd likely be busy 8 days a week. So the Lord commanded this time of rest for His people, whereby they might come together, and in the Christian Sabbath that we might set ourselves aside from the normal working activity to come in fellowship with other believers, that we might join in our song, our singing, our praise unto God. He has set aside the Christian Sabbath, the first day of the week, as the disciples met for the breaking of bread and for worship. And He has instituted this time of rest for us. But do you know that God's institution of the day of rest, the Sabbath, is but a foretaste, and it's brought out in the book of Hebrews, of the eternal rest, of the everlasting rest that God has prepared for His people in heaven when we arrive there. We don't have that rest yet in eternity, but the Lord wants us to experience the rest of Christ and the rest that is in the Lord Jesus. He wants us, believer, to have that in the middle of our toil, our labor, and our heavy burdens. He wants us to understand what it is to walk through a Christian life and to endure, and yet to come and know the peace of God that passes all understanding, to enter into that rest that He has for His people. He said, "I will give you rest." This is the word that is from your Lord. Believer, listen to it today. Hear from the Scripture that word of the Savior in your very ear and your heart. He said, I will give you rest. We are too often, I fear, ignorant and deaf to the words that the Lord speaks in His word to us. We sometimes think we can handle it on our own. We can manage the situation. We will be able to conduct ourselves accordingly and make it through. And you know the deception of that is because maybe you've had a victory in the past. It may be that you've been an overcomer. And so you think, well, I did it in the past. I faced another challenge. I can do it again. That is a great error. Because we have to come back to our Savior to find strength from Him. We must resort to the Lord. We must come to the one who has made the promise, and He has said this gift is from Him because He said, I will give you rest. You see, believer, God has promised to us all things in His Son. He has told us in the Word that all the promises of God are yea or yes in Christ and in Him alone. Because on Calvary, when the Lord died for us, He obtained by His merit all of the promises, all of the blessings, all of the inheritance has been possessed for us through the Savior. And on that cross, when He died for us, and having lived His life and risen again, we are alive in Christ because we are risen with Him. And as I stand in the Lord today, I am able to draw these blessings from Him. And He willingly and freely says to His children, I give this to you. And believer, He's already given to you eternal life. Why will you not then draw from Him all the promises that He grants you in this? Yes, don't think you can do it on your own. Don't be tempted to think you can handle this problem because, no, come back to Him again. It is a word from the Lord. It is a gift from Him. It is the medicine that works. The medicine is rest. And this is what He has promised to you. Now you might say, I have no time for rest because my life and the burdens of it do not allow me off this at the time. Friend, this rest that the Lord gives you is not a rest to stop your labor. It's not a rest to unleash all the burdens from your life. It is a rest that you will have in the very walk of life that you're engaged in. That's the rest that Christ will give you. He said, I will help you to carry your burden. I will assist you. I will strengthen you with might in the inner man. The Lord has promised, rest upon me, wait upon me, and I will encourage your heart and I will strengthen your soul, and you will find in me all that you have need of. Oh, that hymn that we sang today during the offering time, a new hymn to you. Should thy mercy send me sorrow, toil, and woe, or should pain attend me on my path below, grant that I may never fail thy hand to see, grant that I may ever cast my care on thee. When in dust and ashes to the grave I sink, while heaven's glory flashes o'er the shelving brink, on thy truth relying, through that mortal strife, Lord, receive me dying to eternal life. The home that the Lord has prepared for His people, and the strength and grace to continue on while we are here. Believer, this is your lot. Let this verse be set before you in your devotional time. Let it be set in your workplace. Set it in your home. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And the Lord has said, I will give you rest. Let's close our service this morning by singing hymn number 661. I trust that the Lord will bless this word to you and bless the words now as we sing, "All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there." Let's stand, please, to sing 661.